Resources, please come to order. Let the record show Senator Serge Zaluski, Senator Paul Fisher, Senator McKay, Vice Chairman Ziegler, and myself are present. First bill to come before us today is Senate Bill 32. Is anyone here to testify on that bill? Senate Bill 140 and Senate Bill 141, establishing an electrical cooperative revolving loan fund and making a special appropriation to that fund. From the Department of Commerce, we have Don Hostek. Don.
Timing's good.
We did that on purpose.
Madam Chairman, members, the Department of Commerce has enforced this 140 at this time. The declining revenues in the state, I'm not quite sure where the money is going to come from. We would like to see this go through more of a the same manner as bonds, tax exempt bonds, or something else, not be a direct. And that's basically what the testimony is.
So your only opposition to the bill is that you don't know where we get the 20 million. You don't have any suggestion as far as the way it's written or any of that kind of stuff.
The interest rate is not to our liking. If the bill would pass, we would prefer that instead of a 5% rate of set by statute, that it would maybe be changed to be tied into the municipal bond rate or some type of bond rate that would make it a little more equitable. There's a Director Ed Ebach of Division of Energy is here also.
Does anyone have questions? Don?
Madam Chair.
Senator Serge Zaluski.
Okay. This has been a bill that there's been some interest over a number of years. And I'm just wondering if there's been any analysis done, for instance, in using the possibilities of using ADA, or since it isn't, you know, couldn't fit under AMBA that I would see. And there seems to be a problem in financing. I think we need to be cautious because of the federal program and what the implications are. And it just seems to me that maybe there would have been more analysis on the part of the administration. Is there a reason why we don't see more of a position paper on it?
Madam Chairman, the administration has not done a full analysis on it at this time. They're still working on that particular part. And I do feel that will be forthcoming.
Madam Chair, Donna, I don't want to put you in the spot. We had a wonderful working relationship, but it's darn hard to sit here and always offer things up to the Finance Committee. I think we have a responsibility to know what the need is that's out there, and then to analyze it and see if there are solutions. And it's very hard to know how to address the problem, or in a sense how substantive the problem is if we don't have the administration analyze it. Do you have any idea when something might be forthcoming?
I don't. Leave Mr. Ebach.
Oh,
I have that answer.
I can hold it for Ed. Thank you, Doc.
Are there further questions? Senator Fisher, did you have one?
I basically needed more of a picture of what alternative financing is available to REA co-ops, but I decided that Mr. Ebach or Mr. Hutchins could probably do that better for us.
Any further questions or comments? Thank you very much. Senator, Ed Ebach, please. Director of Division of Energy and Power. Yes, sorry about that. He'd kill us with our salary.
Madam Chairman, I'm Edward Ebach, Director of Division of Energy and Power. I'd like to make a comment. Your opposition to that bill because the statute now gives the Department of APA the opportunity to develop regulations. That's been an item on the agenda for the board because of the new board.
those current regulations don't lie by the qualifiers that are out here.
Well, this just says to do with percent of what to do with the length of the term. 20 years versus 30 years. And we could change those under the regulation of the department, so the legislation shouldn't be unnecessary.
Just for clarification, it looks like it's statutorily set at 10 years, not a very long change of the regulation.
As I understand, that's just a record that the board just recommends to the APA. So there may be some.
There may be a problem there, because I think that would have to come through this body, that would be changed to regulation, and it need to be approved. Because it goes past the statute, isn't it?
There may be a technicality that you get by the statute, just the statute, just to say, waiting for.
Yes, so within 10 years, if they have some leeway, and beyond 10 years.
As an advisory committee to the academic authority.
Thank you. On 140-141.
Yes. We did discuss the possibility of doing utility qualifying for the program, which is related to the government authority, whether in fact they would qualify, those who would qualify. We do have some concern, since this is a very broad bill, it covers a lot of different sized utilities. Some of them have difficulty meeting requirements of the paid-in program.
Do you have any comments as to why we don't have an analysis, or is it time involved? Does the administration need more time to look at this? What's the situation?
That's the problem. We've discussed it internally, but we haven't talked to the administration in terms of the position that they might have.
Well, could we encourage the, without being out of line, encourage the administration to take a look at some of these bills we have scheduled up. We have a constituency out there that wants us out of here in 90 to 100 days. And as we try to work through legislation, we really need to know the direction of the administration and the advice of alternatives as we try to solve the problems that we perceive out there by our constituents and that have been brought to us. And that's just a maybe that's a great big please.
Yeah, we appreciate you may our failure to act quickly as cost, but in this case, the particular bill has competing existing legislation with the APA authority. We're aware of some concern over the possibility of impact this may have on federal funds available, as well as the possible other programs. And the problem of $20 million and all the other demands on the state at this time, as well as the administration. There's a number of issues that are being addressed.
Maybe to address that, take a look as well at the some of the sewer and water problems that we're having. Same in many communities and areas out there, the cost of these factors to the constituent is a major concern. And the interest rates that have been had to be paid past the 2% for expansion of plants, et cetera, is a major concern, and one that we've been looking at now for 2 to 3 years. So we appreciate it if and when you let us know.
Are you referring to a bill specific to improve the avoid disallowing the utilities? Are you utilities rich?
I guess what I'm saying is, how do we solve the problems out there? And maybe we're trying to the Russian administration don't need to be. We'll just be addressing this further as we look at both issues and be in touch. Are there questions or comments from members of the committee? Senator Fisher.
Thank you. Again, I have a question of looking at the overview of available financing for RIA co-ops. Can you go into or should we wait for Hutchins?
Okay, that's hard to get away.
I think that Hutchins is about to be my goal.
Thank you very much. Dave Hutchins, Alaska Power Authority. That's what's written here, and that's not right. It's Alaska Utilities.
Alaska Electric Crossing Association.
Rural Electric, right. I looked at that, and I thought that does look a little strange today.
Thank you. They get first an answer to the Senate Commission's questions about the financing that is presently available to REA electric co-ops in the state. There are two REA loan programs. The first one is the insured loan program, which is limited to distribution type loans. There may still be a few left out there that will be made, but where the commitment was made in years past before the insured loan program was restricted to just to distribution type loans. And the way that program works, each borrower, each cooperative qualifies for a certain percentage of its distribution loans at 5% interest.
Where is this from, so we get a...
From the Rural Electrification Administration.
REA.
That's federal, but federal money.
Federal.
And in Alaska, we have one cooperative, Cordova, who gets as little as 25% of this 5% money. And it goes from there up to 90%. Well, there's some that are getting 100%. It depends upon the financial condition of the individual cooperative. The kind of circumstances under which it operates. Typically, about 70% of their distribution loans will come from REA at 5% interest. And the balance then is to be raised wherever they can get it, at whatever market rate is available. The other REA loan program is the Guaranteed Loan Fund, Guaranteed Loan Program. And in that case, REA issues a guarantee for the loan after they've analyzed and determined it to be a feasible project. And then the cooperative, in theory at least, is supposed to go wherever they can to get the money. They pay the market rates of interest. In practice, nearly all of these guaranteed loans are actually, the loan is actually made by the Federal Financing Bank. Federal Financing Bank, which is also a federal entity. The FFB, Federal Financing Bank, goes to the bond market, raises the money, turns around and loans it then to the cooperatives with an adder on it to cover their costs and that finance it. And the problem is that the current administration is cutting Washington is cutting down on the loan programs in REA, both the insured loan program and the guaranteed loan program. And we're not all sure how long we'll be able to keep either one of them. Yes.
Madam Chair, I just want to meet some of this up. What kind of interest rates have the co-ops been paying under this guaranteed program?
Around 14% in the last couple of years. And I think, I'm not sure what the current rate is now. It has dropped some, but it's down around 12.5% to 13% at the present time.
To this administration, have they been able to get any amount that they applied for, or has it been restricted?
Well, they've been able to get their financing needs met in this way, assuming that REA concurs with project.
Madam Chair, to follow Senator Fisher, two things. Now that is, they go through bonds and it's a tax exempt program, is that right? Those rates you're talking about are not taxable. They're not, they're tax exempt. Is that right?
Well, let's see.
If you're down to 12%, that's like a muni.
Yes, they're federal securities.
I realize that, but it's not, it's at some rate that is less than what you would say a taxable rate.
It's been a fairly favorable rate in terms of the interest market, yes.
Is there any limitation as to why do they need money if they're going for full cost plus some and so on for the guaranteed loan? Why would that not be continuing on? I don't understand that.
Two things here. One is that even if we're able to keep the program as it is now, that there was a desire to lower interest rates.
Okay, but there's a difference because you made a statement that you said that you saw those programs going out.
Yes.
Are you talking about the insured program or the guaranteed program?
Both.
Okay, why would the guaranteed go out if they go out for tax exemption?
We'd like to know that, too. If you get President Reagan and his crew to tell us, we appreciate it.
No, but what are they saying? Because I don't...
Well, they're saying you're going to have to go elsewhere for your financing. Mm-hmm.
You don't know the reason as to why they wouldn't go for bonds.
They've never given us a reason. They just say you're going to have to go elsewhere for your financing.
Thank you.
Senator Fisher, had you finished?
Yes, I only needed that one piece of information. Sorry.
Are there other questions, comments?
Are you all finished, Dave? I thought I interrupted you before.
I think you did.
Well,
I was about to get back to that.
I think during the conversation there, I got most of the things said that I intended to say. There was a comment made by a representative from Department of Commerce and Economic Development that perhaps this interest rate should be tied to something other than being set specifically at 5%. And if you're looking in that direction, see that's on page 3, line 19. I would suggest that it be tied to the current, the effective interest rate on the REA insured loan program, which currently is 5%, but that may change from time to time.
Dave, as we've been working on this bill and trying to solve some of the problems out there, I don't know, for the past, I'd say, at least 4 or 5 years, it's been the goal of most of the people that I've listened to is, as we ran for office, as we tried to solve the problems that confront the state today, that one of the major priorities was to lower the cost of energy, lower the cost of electricity or lower the cost of fuel and this kind of thing. So I understand, so everybody else understands what's behind this type of legislation. There's been a lot of talk done about it, but very little concrete evidence of this desire. And as we've worked for the past 2 or 3 years on trying to solve this problem, I want to tell you how much I appreciate your help with that. I do not feel though that at this time this legislation is ready to move on. I think it needs new work. I am not ready to give this legislation up because I still have the same desire that I had last year, the year before that, and the year before that. And that is to try to find the answers to lowering the cost. And you don't lower the cost if you maintain the interest rates, because that's what's causing the cost to be as high as it is of borrowing money. Senator Fisher?
I'm interested in this whole topic also, but I'm still not as expert as you are, so I'm trying to find my way into it. SB 32 by Senator Moss deals with rural electrification loans. 140 would establish an electric co-op revolving loan fund. What is the first program?
That's a program in existence today. Dave, would you like to take it? 2%.
Okay. The existing program through the Power Authority is a very limited type of program. The names sound a lot alike, but the program that's already in existence is limited to assistance with line extensions into developing rural areas. It's structured in such a way that it was intended to make state money available for that kind of development in
lieu of requiring a grant of native destruction from the prospective consumers in those areas.
Dave, another point on that. That does not, however, am I mistaken, does that take care of those urban areas or other areas in normal expansion as they have to expand their facilities? Are they qualified and eligible?
The 2%, the existing program through the Power Authority is not really intended for normal expansion. It's intended for the areas where it's expected that the development that is expected in those areas will be sufficient to make the project feasible within a period of 10 years. But it is not feasible under normal expansion today to finance the project.
Representative Fisher.
Given the situation that exists, that the APA program is not functioning, it's limited to the federal program, it's buttoning out, what does Gold Valley do this year for funding to extend service?
Our extension in their normal routine expansion or improvement of service, they go to REA for a loan. In Gold Valley's case, I think 80 or 90% of other distribution loan comes from REA, 5% interest.
So that would still be the insured loan.
That's the insured loan program for distribution loan. The balance then would be the market rates through FFB. But the people that were intended to be assisted in service through that other program still are not being served. The service out to them. The problem with that existing program has not been the legislation, it's been the regulations. And in the last meeting of the Power Authority Board, they took steps to correct the regulations. They did at that time agree to advertise and hold hearings on amendments to the regulations, and we were quite hopeful that the problem there in that program will be resolved by regulatory means.
If I may pursue this, Madam Chair. What are the problems with their regulations? I notice it's a 2% interest rate, which is rather low. Are they trying to pull down the number of loans they can obtain? Do they actually have the money to lend?
$6.5 million.
They have $6.5 million.
And I've
The problem has been that the regulations were not in conformity with the intent of the legislation. The legislation just passed set up a repayment schedule that was flexible. It floated with the number of people that came on to the line and were served new services from one of these projects. Just it was modeled after Grand Nave construction, where if you are living out in an unserved area and you want a line out there, you put up the cash to pay for the extension to your house, and then as other consumers come on the line, hook up, then the utility pays back to you a portion of the money that you put up. That's the way that other program is supposed to work. And the former finance director of the Power Authority simply didn't like that and said, oh, there's got to be a specific payback period set. And so he selected a 20-year payback period, which then threw us into all kinds of problems with the APUC and REA, and it just hasn't worked.
Senator Sturzlewski.
Just a few questions, if I could. Under the some analysis we have in SB 140, it talks about the things you could do under that bill. You could finance capital improvement, plant or facility. My question is going to be, under the current programs of the federal, whether they do other things or if these are the same. Okay, finance capital improvements, plant or facility, improve and expand services, meet short-term or interim capital need while utility is processing long-term loan. Are those the same things that are available under the insured program and the guaranteed loan program? I imagine the interim financing is not.
The interim financing is not available from the government. But the other things, yes, those are presently available from the government. Some of it at a good rate of interest, attractive rate of interest, some of it not so attractive. That's where we're concerned that they've told us they're going to be cutting it down.
Okay. I missed something that you were talking about. You talked talked about the distribution loans under the insured program. What were the older loans that you said existed out there? Were there something they previously covered that they're not covering?
Yes, a long time ago, the insured loan program would cover small generation projects.
But it does not now.
It does not presently, but there may still be a few small generation projects where a loan commitment was made in the past. But
what happens in our state where we do not have REA cooperatives? For instance, we have Alaska Lightning and Power, which is a private utility. Do they have a source of funds, or do they go to the marketplace? And what is the situation? And do we have a number of those? Are most utilities able to take advantage of federal programs, assuming the dollars are available?
Well, Alaska Electric Light and Power goes to the market directly for part of their financing, and they've come directly to the legislature for the rest of it.
And they're the only ones, really basic utility in the state. Does ABEC, Chugach, and et cetera, does everybody else come pretty much through?
The other group of utilities who do not, electric utilities who do not come through that are the municipal electric utilities, like Fairbanks Municipal Utility System and Anchorage Municipal Light and Power, and Sitka, Ketchikan, Petersburg, and Wrangell.
Okay, now do they use revenue bonds? In other words, they have to have adequate coverage to go ahead then to get their financing.
Yes.
And they go through the tax exempt market. So in a sense, since all rates are regulated by APUC, there would be a difference then between, say, the Fairbanks telephone service, I believe, is run by the city, is it not?
Well, we have the municipal lights, municipal power light.
And then you have Golden Valley.
And we have Golden Valley, each serving the same district.
Yeah, but they would have different sources of...
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a picture of what the financial situation is.
They're not all controlled by the APUC, though. As a matter of fact, Anchorage Municipal Light and Power is the only municipality in the state that is regulated.
That is regulated, yeah. We have a different situation there. Yeah. But some of those factors, I think, would need to be kind of looked at, too, as to whether we're giving one an advantage. I understand the point, which is an excellent one you make, of lowering the cost, but you also give in an area... competitive advantages to certain areas. I realize that their service areas are regulated, however.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's sort of a technical question that jumped in my eye as I was reading this. On page 5, lines 19 and so on, it says the commissioner, since Congress may sell and transfer par value to the Department of Revenue, to notes, mortgages, and other collateral held. Security for loans made under this chapter. That's a practice that has pertained to quite a few loan programs and was finally stopped with respect to housing loans. I'm just wondering why this was put in here at this time.
Well, as I understand the reason for it being there, it has to do with the idea that eventually this would be rolled over into a self-sustaining type of program where it would not be dependent upon continuing appropriations after several years of operation. And they'd be able to take their mortgage that would be able to get loans against their assets for new loans.
Well, my understanding is that the Constitution prohibits separate fund money has to come in. Funded and be appropriated by the legislature. There is no such thing unless it's established by the Constitution to have the fund where the proceeds automatically revert to the loan program. We can check that out as we go ahead.
Are there further questions or comments? Thank you very much, Dave. Is there anyone else who wish to testify on Senate Bill 140 or 141? Senate Bill 128, the Marine Parks Bill. Last time we instructed the staff to bring this up to their amendments, Senator Fisher, I hope you've had a chance to look over the...
Yes, satisfactory.
I had an amendment. Do we have this passed out to them? Okay. If you'll notice in your packets, a letter from you from the staff concerning two suggested changes on page 2 of the committee substitute. Lines 16 to 19, you can see the wording there, the Commissioner of Natural Resources may not restrict the exercise of fishing and hunting. We would suggest changing the wording, the Commissioner of Natural Resources may not restrict the exercise of hunting, fishing, and trapping rights permitted under law. Are there objections to that?
Can we get another that, Madam Chair?
Just added trapping on line 16, 17, page 2.
It's in your packet there at the middle of the page. See the underlined language, Senator McKay. And the bracketed language is what we wish to remove. The same thing on page 9, lines 8 through 10. Section D states, as you can see, the regulations governing public use of the marine parks units of the Alaska State Park System shall provide reasonable access for legal hunting, fishing, and trapping, and other recreational uses. The suggestion was that reasonable access shall be permitted in and across marine park units of the Alaska State Park System for lawful hunting, fishing, and trapping for recreational purposes. Is there objection to that wording? Then the chair would accept a motion on Amendment 1 on the amended version.
Chair, I so move.
Is there objection? Okay, then we'll get this out and cross the desk. Senator 1. Bill 136, operation of stationary fishing gear. Senator McKay, I understand that you are ready with a committee substitute on that bill.
Madam Chair, the question here. Committee substitute. We've got full progress through the first one's original bill. There's a proposed committee substitute number 1. What I'm addressing on, I'd like to move it on the table. Committee substitute number 2. What this bill does is address a problem we have in different areas of the state where a unit of fishing gear can be broke up into more than one piece. It can be we have 75 fathoms here and 75 fathoms around the point. And the way the existing law is being interpreted, you've got to be on or within vocal calling distance, physically present at that particular piece of gear, so that you can't have part of your crew work in the other gear. It's a little bit further compounded, Madam Chair, in that quite often the place where the people stay or live while they're out there fishing, whether it's a seasonal residence or a permanent residence, can still be in another place in the near vicinity. What this committee substitute does is say that they have to be in the area, in the site of the gear, either at one site or the other, or at their shelter. And then they're considered physically present. They don't have to be in one piece of gear or the other. There's also, for the Department of Safety, it's suggested as an amendment to this committee substitute that the structure is used for providing shelter, just to restrict it for what it was intended to. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Then, even though that for providing shelter is P, penciled in, that is a part of your committee substitute number two?
Right, I'd like to move that as, I'd like to move that as an amendment to the committee substitute, Madam Chair, and then include the committee substitute, including that as one.
Is there objections to, for providing the shelter of those, the amendment to add those words? So be it.
Madam Chair.
Senator Sturzaluski, yes,
I can see what you're trying to do, and just one question, how does the department feel about this? Going to be a tough one to enforce, I would think, but on the other hand, it's a stab at solving the problem, I guess.
Yes, Madam Chair, I don't think the department as a whole is aware of what different hands of the department was doing. And up until this last season, that this physically present had said never been enforced in my district around the Kodiak Island. They got a new trooper in from another district, and the first 10 sites he issued citations. He then doubled back to the first site and issued warnings and replaced them with it, and found that the whole island was, the gear was split up there. But he came out of an area where you just have one piece of gear, and the house was normally right up behind it, so that it wasn't a problem. And talking to the people in Anchorage, they couldn't perceive the problem. Now they recognize it, and this committee substitute has their endorsement.
That's fine. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there other questions or comments? Chair would accept a motion on committee substitute for Senate Bill number 126.
Madam
Since
Chair.
We had not accepted the other one, this would be just committee substitute, would it not?
Right. And Madam Chair, I would move committee substitute that's marked as number two, as it was amended earlier, and with individual recommendations.
Are there objections? So be it. Members of the committee, those who are interested in, we have fiscal notes now supplied for most of the bills concerning the electrical co-ops with backup material, etc. We'll be talking about those as we proceed to work. If members of this committee or of your staffs wish to participate in the work of trying to further the work of this committee in relieving some of these problems, we'll welcome you aboard. Anything else come forward to the committee today? Committee adjourned.